call the meeting to order. The invocation today, Mr. Tony Gleason's going to do that for us. Tony?
You probably need to wait. Father, thank you for this beautiful, warm spring day. We thank you for this place that we call WKU. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of an organization of learning and achievement. Thank you for our board and our president who continue to give energy and vision and effort to this institution in order that we might be relevant not only locally but globally. In these challenging times, we pray for wisdom and guidance that can only come from you, our source of comfort and strength and confidence. Father, we just thank you for the many blessings, even in challenging times, that you've blessed on us personally and collectively. All these things we pray in your name.
Amen.
Thank you, Tony. At this time, Kevin Smiley, will you meet me up front here for the oath of office, please?
And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you being a citizen of the state, cannot fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state, nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as a second in hearing a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person in completely so help you God.
Congratulations. It's an honor to welcome you to the Board of Regents. One of our traditions is a pen that we created several years ago that is presented to each board member on the mock board. This is only owned by members of this governing board. And something that we will find a special place for you the next year on your lapel. But beyond that, any old treasures that you hold dear for the rest of your life. It's an important moment for us, and it's a symbolic of an important moment both for you and for us. Congratulations. It's an honor to welcome you. We look forward to welcoming you. Thank you, Kevin. Thank
All right, Tamara, would you do a roll call, please?
Ms. Gray?
Present.
Ms. Haskins?
Present.
Ms. Hughes?
Present.
Mr. Johnson?
Present.
Mr. Meyer?
Present.
Dr. Minter?
Present.
Mr. Porter?
Present.
Ms. Roberts?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Present.
Myself? Mr. Zelkin?
All right. Thank you. Our first action item, Mr. Meyer, would you do this regarding the budget? I see we have Mead and her co-worker.
First action item only is to, on the budget, to request approval of 2009-2010 budget, including full-time employees, one-time payment provision, and converting it to base salary adjustment effective July 1, 2010. And I would defer now to Ann. Have any, or is there any discussion on any of this? Excuse me. That's my motion.
I have a presentation I think will be done in about an hour, hour and a half. hopefully by the time I finish, you won't have any questions. I was listening to a talk show this morning and was rather intrigued by a man recalling his youth. And he said that when he was about 9 years old, he walked into a drugstore and picked up Popular Mechanics, which means nothing to me. I never picked up Popular Mechanics in my life. But for him, it was very, very special. And on that cover was a houseboat And on the bow was this young man, and on the stern looked like his father. And across the top said, "Build a houseboat in your garage in 3 days." So the young man said, for 95 cents, he paid for it and ran home to his father to tell him what they ought to do that weekend. I won't tell you the rest of the story. But sometimes the cover is beautiful, sometimes it's deceptive, but sometimes it instills aspirational goals. So today I'm not here to tell you we're going to build a houseboat or an ark, as it seemed like we needed in the last few days. But I will tell you that I think our cover is beautiful and aspirational. Okay, you wondered where I was going with the houseboat. Okay. Well, my transition, as my famous English teacher probably taught me, is yes, I had a point to that story. And the point is that our budget does have a beautiful cover. And it's not just a cover, it's symbolic of one of our many successes. So while we think about the budget and maybe probably inadequate resources, let's focus on the bright side and our accomplishments. I think most of you know that the Academy was announced in Newsweek recently that they've added them to the top 10 list of high schools. They call it Public Elites. So all across the nation, if they didn't know otherwise, they know something that we are very proud of at WKU. While we do lament our economy, I'll say that we're still committed to outreach and serving our students. All of that's embedded in this financial plan that we present to you today. We're presenting to you approval of the operating budget, $349 million, for the fiscal year starting July 1. As you see, this is an increase of $17 million, or a 5.1% increase. The largest increase by category is in restricted funds, and I'll talk to you about that in a little bit. We're pleased to project that increase. Also, we have a modest increase in auxiliary services, bookstore, self-generated revenue, approximately 4%, $781,000. To build a budget, we start relatively early and have to make numerous financial assumptions. On the revenue side, primary sources of support for this university are state appropriation and tuition and fees. Those two sources are approximately two-thirds of the resources that we plan to operate this institution. We budget the state appropriation based on the enacted budget. So if you look in the revenue schedule that is in this document, you might see a number that we might have to come back at the next meeting and tell you it is no longer our state appropriation. But it is the enacted budget, and that's the basis for us building the budget. We will have to come back to you at a later point to talk about stimulus funding and how that impacts the budget. Based on your previous action, you're aware that tuition and fees are going up 4%, the smallest increase in 20 years. This is sensitive to the families and students and helps us maintain financial access. But again, looking at the pie chart, you understand how significant tuition and fees are to our total operation. The restricted funds would include grants and contracts and student financial aid, significant amount of money. What do we have there? $41 million plus in student financial aid, another $25 million in grants and contracts. So those are referred to as our restricted funds. But focusing just on student financial aid, after just saying how important low tuition rate increases are to students, this is a very important variable for students to have. From federal and state sources, we're projecting our restricted financial aid to go up 11.5%. against a 4% average increase in most of their expenses. So I think that's very good news in this budget. Again, as most budgets, we are building this budget based on the previous year's actual enrollment, fall 2008, summer, the previous summer, not the summer we're in now. So if there is any enrollment growth, we'll have an opportunity to have decisions related to those growth dollars and how they are allocated. Maybe a little easier than the pie to look at some of the sources. A lot of numbers, but I'm fond of this chart because we start with the total budget, $349 million. Then you see what I just mentioned, restricted funds, which are designated by an external agency or governmental body. So we really budget what we think will come in. We will spend what actually does come in. And those funds cannot be diverted for any other purpose except for the terms of a, for example, a grant or contract. Self-generated revenue of approximately $36 million reflects our ability to have our own programs, workshops, camps, sales and services. To simplify the chart, I ended up including endowment income that comes in from the foundation off of their earnings to support professorships, investment income, and everybody had to be somewhere, so our carry forward we expect to generate this fiscal year at the end of this year, almost there, that we plan to expand next year is included in self-generated. Auxiliary is a little over $20 million. Category public funds is a relatively new terminology, but it recognizes that state appropriation and tuition are the primary drivers of an operating budget. But I think it's important to note when you back out those items that are specifically designated by the state, debt service, the academy, we did separately identify a budget reduction reserve of $4 million going into this planning process. But when you look at what I call more undesignated funds, out of our total resources, you're looking at 21% from the state. And that's why I think we need to be very positive about this budget. You've got 80% of the budget, where in a lot of terms, we are generating ourselves, our entrepreneurs, our initiatives out there that are serving a lot of students, whether it's online learning or camps or there's just so many ways we're serving the public and moving this institution forward. So 21% of our undesignated money is in fact coming from the state. So this tells you that a lot of our strategic initiatives will be accomplished in the next year. It just won't be accomplished with state funds. In your operating budget, you probably noticed that there is a tab called narrative. The narrative allows you to look by division at what priorities each division has set forth for its specific area for the next year. Now, I'll tell you, I think the list looks ambitious, and I did go back to senior administrative officers and said, "Are you serious?" Because it looked a little bit too aggressive. But I'll tell you, they didn't back down, and I guess I'm proud to tell you that their plans are in place, even in what might be considered an austere budget. Throughout the winter, we told you that tuition and fees from fall and spring would need to be dedicated to basically what we want to call globally fixed costs, unavoidable costs. This is the information we've provided you previously in an information item that essentially says that we have unavoidable costs such as minimum wage and the state retirement system rate matching going up. We have utilities. We're proud that in January we'll have some new facilities opening, and those need to be maintained and the utilities associated with those facilities. So the most significant piece that we have to allocate in this budget relates to what I call unavoidable costs. This information is all detailed in your executive summary of the budget. The next category, student financial aid. What student financial aid does is basically allow us to maintain the same number of scholarship awards that are paid for by state appropriation and tuition and fees, but increase them enough to offset the tuition increase. This amount also includes the second year of the Academy scholarships. These are graduates of the Academy. We plan to put an additional $260,000 into the health insurance program. Our health insurance operates on a calendar year, so this is an amount that will be available in January, and obviously for a full year allocation, we will need to identify an additional $260,000 effective for the next budget cycle. Campus policies, two small items, one but big important to the campus, is parking and transportation, where we have on a, I think it's a 10-year plan, been allocating all revenue associated with parking and transportation back to that program. When we finish, Kim, are we in the eighth year?
Eighth year.
When we finish, you'll be able to look at the budget and see that parking and transportation's expenditure authority equals the revenue that they're generating from permits and fines. Last item I indicated was the state appropriation budget reserve. This is just reflection of the amount that was in the enacted budget from the General Assembly that we don't think it's likely to be allocated to us, so we did put it in a reserve in the event that there is a cut. And that's where my other pie chart was. I thought I said I had them in the wrong order, stammering around in my notes wondering where the pie chart is. Okay, personnel, $148 million. This is our unrestricted budget, which is important to focus on because that's where we have our designated ability to spend money rather than the restricted or the auxiliary. So $148 million is anticipated to be budgeted in personnel. Now, that's not all lines that are filled. It's vacant positions. It's graduate assistance, student wages. It also includes all the benefits, health insurance, life insurance, retirement, associated with that personnel. The I couldn't do the math in my head. $148 million is 57% of the unrestricted resources. Another factor about 57% of your budget is that when we come back to you about budget reduction discussions, you can see why it is extremely difficult to find ways to trim our budget when we are so labor-intensive. Capital budget, that's the last section of your document. It includes projects that are currently underway or we anticipate to start this year. $138.3 million for projects. There are no new projects. These reflect projects you have seen in your quarterly construction project update. And again, this does not include any additional bonding projects than the ones that you have approved with the last sale. If you look at the capital budget from a perspective of academic buildings, student services, and athletics, you would see that 86% of the funding in this budget is going to academic buildings. Almost $118 million will be either building or renovating an academic facility. Only $10.2 million each will be for student services and athletics and infrastructure. Infrastructure means the underground electrical and parking. So you have 86% for academic reasons to enhance our ability to serve our students. So in conclusion, even though we don't have a money tree, we're committed to growing a forest. We can't lose sight that we are an important instrument to turning the state's economy around, and I believe this budget will move us forward. Lastly, I want to thank Kim Reed and her budget staff, Stacy Garrett, for doing an incredible job implementing the fiscal year 09 budget reduction at the same time she was expected to build a fiscal year 10 budget. So she brought forth a balanced budget and gave us this presentation today. And I'm not sure they're with us. I see Brad and a few. But we have exceptional budget officers in the divisions that help make our job a lot easier. So that's my presentation, and my great staff will help answer your questions.
And anyone have any questions?
I do.
Okay.
And I've mentioned this, Ann, earlier. I was struck in the narrative how large of an increase some areas had in the operating budget, such as campus services and facilities had $1.8 million, research $1 million, and she says each one needs to be explained individually. But if that's true, then I think there needs those categories and operating expenses need to be broken down so we can determine exactly what is included in that category and try to understand why there's such discrepancy.
I think maybe you've got a point that we hadn't considered before. In the narrative section, we could explain what are the most significant allocations that are reflected in those dollar increases. I know categorically that there are two drivers. You saw the chart where we allocate tuition from fall and spring, and those are specifically targeted. If you go to that chart, operation and maintenance of new facilities obviously will cause a large increase in campus services budget. The second point would be the amount we're budgeting for carry forward or net asset allocation, money left over from that we expect to have available to spend next year for one-time expenses. And what happens in that narrative when we summarize the fiscal resources, we're summarizing the permanent resources and the one-time resources. So I can see that would cause, that's a change I think we could address. Lastly, we have a policy that if it's self-generated revenue, whether it's in the English department for publication or whether it's ticket sales and athletics, we have a policy that self-generated revenue is returned back to the unit that generates it. But it would be difficult to we can prepare some sort of summary by division and share it with the board.
Well, most of that increase in facilities and campus services, John, is utilities, and of the fixed cost increases, a major portion of that fixed cost increase is in the utilities budget, and the utilities budget is in the facilities department. Mm-hmm. So, yes, they got a pretty nice increase, but they're going to get some pretty nice utility bills coming in that is budgeted to address.
Well, that would be
helpful. Ms. Roberts pointed out a few others, and I think other divisions. For example, in my own division, there's a large increase. I believe the campus was very conservative in their expenditures, anticipating a budget cut that didn't fully materialize. We were fortunate it was only 2%, but I think we were prepared for a lot more than that. There was some apprehension to spend, so therefore what it happens is that you're going to see an increase in carry forward, one-time money that we expect to spend next year, and I think some of the division explanations are probably associated with a larger carry forward. I know in mine it's two pieces. It's carry forward, and the other is a very successful student health service facility and program.
We planned on 4% cut, 2% materialized, but we continued to cut the full 4%, and so that's going to be reflected in the carry forward. Yeah, in this budget going forward.
So if the board would like additional information to supplement that narrative, we can do that. I just don't think I can necessarily give you an answer to those increases.
Yeah, I'll call your attention to the very first page behind the executive summary tab. The red and blue bar chart there, WKU budgeted revenue 2001-2002 compared to 2008-2009. All four of those bars, look at tuition and fees and the difference and state appropriation and the difference. And if you wonder why tuition has gone up, all you have to do is look at the decline in state appropriation as a percent of budget. And the same thing with the decline in restricted money and then the increase in sales, services, and others, which means we're being rather entrepreneurial and finding other ways to make up lost revenues in restricted categories. So, but the most startling is the comparable between that tuition and fees line and state appropriation line. Not exact dollar for dollar, but a pretty direct correlation there. And as one of Ann's charts said, now 21.4% of our budget is in state appropriated operating support. 21.4%. 12 years ago, when I began these duties, that was a little over 50%. So, and again, tuition and fees are now up over 40%, and that was probably around 25% 12 years ago. So,
I was in Frankfurt this week, and we call ourselves the chief budget officers, and believe it or not, we are talking about what type of funding model would be appropriate for higher education for 12-14. So some of us looked at each other and said, "Where are you retiring?" but I will.
Your answer was?
Lord will, and I'll still be here 12-14. I think that'll be my last biennium. But we're again, for some of the board members that have heard different funding models, well, we are going to consider again how to best fund post-secondary education when the unfortunate problem is that it's been inadequate resources to fund any funding model. But this is one point that is of a concern, the shift between students, the amount of burden they pay versus what the state's responsibility ought to be.
And the reason that we are at work already on a 2012 to 2014 biennial budget is because there is almost no chance of any budget increases for the 10 to 12 biennium, which will be addressed in the 2010 legislative session for that biennium. In fact, you've already received communication from me about the shift over that next 2 years of fewer state funds and more federal funds in the form of stimulus funding. And then that goes away in 2012. So we've got a real challenge between now and 2012 to find a way with state appropriations to hopefully fill that hole that's going to be created in 2012 when that stimulus money goes away. And because for the next couple of years, our state appropriations are going to continue to be cut to meet the deficit. And then we'll be made whole with the stimulus money. And that's a... That is an ominous, it's a good short-term circumstance, but an ominous longer-term circumstance looking toward 2012. And that's just something that we're going to continue to talk about probably nearly every meeting between now and then as to how we're looking to that reality in 3 years. Yeah, 3 years.
Well, thank you for giving an explanation of why I decided to skip 2 years.
But yes,
that's why at 10-12, we think that the Council on Post-Secondary Education should probably make a request for some sort of fixed costs related to the hospital contract at U of L and debt service, but pretty much a bare bones budget. So that's what we're debating right now, at least the presidents are, and CBOs are starting to say, okay, when times are good, A, how much do you ask for, and B, the more difficult question, what's an equitable distribution among institutions?
Any other questions or comments?
I just had a question about, I'm looking at the version of this that's on in the action item form. I just had a question about debt service, and there was a discrepancy that I just didn't understand on page 3 that has a percent of budget for debt service. It's $1.9 million, and on
that
page 5, it's 14.
Okay, the $1,958,000 is the state-supported debt service. The 14.7, which would be on page 5, shows the across the institution the total debt service.
So if you want to see what our number is, then you just subtract page 3 from page 5.
Right.
Okay.
So basically, unrestricted, approximately $12
million. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
One comment.
Yes, ma'am.
I got to. My last time.
Yes, ma'am. Right ahead. Take your time.
I won't keep us too long. I do think it's a good budget. I know it's very difficult to come up with a budget in these economic times and with the way things are going. Final time, just remember, I know there are some things in here I'd love to see for staff, such as a computer replacement pool, or maybe even a small $50,000 pool or something for some increases to recognize that the staff, as universities grown, which is a wonderful thing, but the staff are doing more and more without getting, in many areas, not being able to get the compensation that they need to go along with that. And the staff are dedicated to the university. We love WKU. You know, it's a great place to work, and we're very glad to be here. But, you know, there are some people out there that have some real needs and some real areas. So just ask you to remember that as we go forward. I know the economy's bad, and it's not getting better anytime soon, but please remember the staff do play a valuable role in this university and really contribute to the success of the university. And I just ask you to keep that in mind.
Great. Good. You're right about the economy. I think the last time we had a meeting, the unemployment rate in the country was about 8, now it's close to 10. So, or right at 10.
Although Warren County is among the first to see a very slight decline from just over 10 to about 9.5% first quarter to second quarter this calendar year. So maybe we bottomed out on that.
Maybe. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the 2009-2010 budget?
I so move.
Motion. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a second. All in favor, please let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, and a great job as usual.
Kim,
thank you.
Great job.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Jim.